Before I start today, I want to just, in case you guys are noticing, my eye is a little red today. I've been having an eye issue the last few days. I did see the doctor. It's not the coronavirus right away. I thought, I got it in my eyes, but it's a sty. And I've been putting ointment in my eye. And it's kind of interesting how God works sometimes, because when I was studying this week about what I wanted to share with you, it was about needing our eyes anointed so we could see. So God's letting me experience this, I guess, to make it a little more real to me. So if you notice my red eye, maybe it'll make you think about what I want to share with you today. What I want to call my message today is, it's really a prayer. Lord, anoint my eyes to see Jesus. Anoint my eyes to see Jesus. And I'm just going to pray before we start, ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word and to really help us to understand and to know what He wants us to know and to see the things He wants us to see. So Lord, again, I thank You for Your Word. It's not a dead letter. It's not a textbook. It's Your living Word. It's God-breathed. It's You speaking to us. It's like a love letter to us. It's an invitation from the God of the universe to lost sinners, Lord, to people without understanding, to know You, to come into a relationship with You, to fellowship with You, to sup with You, as someone would sit at a dinner table and have that divine exchange with Lord. I thank You for inviting us into Your presence this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit would enlighten us, would open our eyes again to see the things You want to see, mostly about You, Lord, so that we could be drawn closer to You this morning. So bless our time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off, I'm going to have a couple of scriptures I'm going to read to you, but I want to start off with Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. This is the Lord, really, the Spirit of God speaking to the churches that were in Asia in that time. I believe it's also speaking to us today. So I want to just read this last message to the seventh church in Revelation 3, verse 15. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I become wealthy, I don't need anything. And you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And here it is, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous, repent. Behold, I stand. It's me standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. What a divine invitation from the God of the universe. And again, I'm having physical troubles with my eye, my natural eye, these last few days. But this is talking about something different. This is talking about our spiritual eyes and really God helping us to see spiritually what we need to see. So the reference here is, again, to their spiritual vision and what He would furnish to produce the same effect that I'm having to put this ointment in my eye to help my eye heal, to help it get better. That's the picture here, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's anointing, because it's the Holy Spirit that reveals truth. And we need that anointing to help us to see what God is seeing. It enables men, when they're blind, to really see the character of God. It's the beauty of salvation. It's the picture of a soul going from darkness to light. And we all need that. And it's really a revelation of who Jesus is and the work of the cross. It's a tremendous sight that God has given us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I have a list of all of our church members, and the last few days as I've been studying this, I've been praying for you all, this very thing. God, open so-and-so's eyes. God, open so-and-so's eyes. God, open so-and-so's eyes. God, help them to see you, Lord. Jesus, bring them back to the foot of the cross. Open up their understanding, Lord, to know you. That's been my total prayer for you. But it's a good prayer. It's what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus when he heard of their faith. That's what he prayed. Lord, open up their understanding. God, help them to know you, to be rooted and grounded in your love. Because if we have that, we have everything, and everything will grow out of that. This is what I'm praying. And again, it's only a work the Holy Spirit can do. That's what that eye salve is. It's a picture of that anointing. It's something only the Holy Spirit can do. That's why Paul prayed. He knew he couldn't convince. He knew he couldn't argue people to understand. He just said, I'm praying for you. I love his prayer in Ephesians 1:15. He says, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That was his prayer. Simple. When he heard of their faith, Lord, open their eyes so they'll know you. It's there really where we come into our first love. It's there where the awe and wonder of being brought into the king's chamber is real to us. We're going to look at that in a minute. You'll understand better what I'm talking about. It's there where the joy and excitement of bringing others to meet this Jesus that you have found, that you have come to know as your husband, your friend, your king. And there's an excitement of telling other people about him, this wonderful Lord and Savior you met, your wonderful Father in heaven that gave his Son for you, and his wonderful, precious Holy Spirit that dwells within you, his own person that reveals things to you about him. We've lost a lot in recent decades. I believe we've drifted away from the simplicity of just knowing him and seeing him and being in our first love as the body of Christ. The simplicity of the gospel, just being in love with Jesus, not needing props, not needing things that we feel like we need to attract people. I really just want to say to all of us, if it's not Jesus drawing people, then what is drawing them? If it's not Jesus that's going to keep people, then what do we need other than him to keep people? These are the questions we need to be asking ourselves, I believe, during this time. This everything we do should flow from that first love. If we aren't ministering to others out of that first love, they're not going to get what they really need, which is Jesus himself. So my call to you, or God's call to you today, is he's calling you into his chambers. He's calling you to return to your first love. He's wanting to give you eye salve so that you'll see him more clearly. There's a book in the Old Testament called the Song of Songs. It's a beautiful book written by King Solomon. He wrote two books, Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. And Ecclesiastes is a picture of, you know, someone looking for satisfaction either through knowledge alone or through the pursuit of everything under the sun, it talks about. In other words, everything this world can offer, and finding out in the end that if it's just that we're pursuing, it's all vanity, it's empty, there's nothing to it. And I think all of us realize that are pursuing those things. There's it never produces or gives us what our hearts truly desire. And it's love, it's relationship. It's what we were created for. We were created for God. We were created to know Him, to be in fellowship with Him. That's what we lost in the garden. And anywhere else we look, it's going to be like Solomon said, like trying to grasp wind. It's going to be empty. There'll be nothing to it. That was the conclusion he came to in that book. But yet in the Song of Solomon, we see that a man can only reach satisfaction through love. And again, it's a picture of the relationship of love between the believer and the Lord and the pursuit that goes on. So I just want to read from chapter 1 a few verses here. The title is called The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Verse 2 says, the Shulamite, that would be the one pursued. That would be you and I. She's saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away. So she has tasted of the king's wine, and there's something in her that's drawn to him. And when she says, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, that's a picture of not just a casual like peck on the cheek. She's desiring intimacy with this king. And I just want to read you just some quotes from a book that was written, a commentary on this book, that kind of is a commentary on this. So listen to what he says. He says, such desires arise in us after we have been wakened to life by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we're born again, when we taste and see that the Lord is good, all of a sudden there is a desire to know more of him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She wants to go deeper in her love and experience and knowledge of him. And then when they say, thy love is better than wine, it's a picture of, you know, wine is indicative of, again, the things of this earth. The best things this earth can come up with cannot compare with his love. Cannot compare. The Holy Spirit has shown me that everything that makes people temporarily happy in this world, everything that causes elation of fleshly feelings, can't be compared with thy love. And so the response is, draw me away. Draw me away. And then the daughters of Jerusalem, or others who are seeking him, say, we will run after you. And then she says, the king has brought me into his chambers. Just think about that. We're going to see this Shulamite, she is a servant girl. She's someone that works out in the fields. And the king of the land has brought her into his chambers. That's just a little picture of the enormity of how Christ has humbled himself from his majesty and glory, came down to earth, you know, became like us, identified with us, died in our place so that we, little servants, little nothings, compared to this glorious king, can now have access into his chambers. That's what he wants. That's what Revelation 3 is talking about when he says, let me anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you'll see, so that you'll turn away from the worthless things you've been looking at, the other things you've been setting your eyes at, and so that you can open the door, because it's me knocking and I want to come in and I want to have fellowship with you. That is awesome when we think about that. We really need to help ask God to help us to see this glorious invitation that is there and his heart for us as well. It goes on where she says, rightly do they love you. She says, I'm dark but lovely. So, and that's what happens when you see Jesus. You understand, like Revelation 3 says, I'm wretched, I'm poor, I'm miserable, I'm blind. But yet, he clothes us, because isn't that what he says? I want to clothe you. So she's in one sentence saying, I'm dark, but yet I'm lovely. But I'm only lovely because of how he sees me and because of what he's done for me. That's the reality of what he's done for us. I'm dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Don't look upon me because I'm dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keepers of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. And then she says to her beloved, tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. Why should I be like one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? And the beloved says to her, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock. Feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tent. Return to your first love. Go back to the old ways. Follow the track. Ask for the good old way. Observe the footsteps of the flock, those godly saints that have gone before you. We looked at that a little bit last week. Those heroes in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith today that are still amongst us, that are truly following Christ. Find those that are seeking him in that way. Find teachers that are presenting him in that way and follow them. They'll lead you to where I am. But really, we need to follow him. Because the faithful confess, you know, that it's God who draws us. If he doesn't draw us, we don't have the strength to go after him. And I believe he is. And I believe that begins with prayer. That's why I've been praying the way I've been praying for you. God answers the prayer of a beggar, of someone that understands their need. Jesus entreats us to ask, to seek, to knock, and it will be open to you. So we need to ask, Lord, give me eye salve. Lord, help me to see you the way I need to see you. And we see her prayer is answered beyond her desires. Not only is she permitted to run after him, she's what? She's brought into his chamber. So God just doesn't want you to follow him. He wants you to come into his chamber. He wants you to know him. He wants to be in that first love with you and I. That's what God wants more than anything else. And out of that, everything else will flow. Revelations 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So it's God's love that pursues us. It's God's love that allows things in our lives to get our attention, to help us to see. It's God's love that has given us the Holy Spirit that will reveal truth to us, that will help us, that will open up our understanding. If we'll allow him to. If we'll ask him to, that's God's heart. He wants you to know him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to have that intimacy with you. He wants you to be lovesick. And he wants you to invite others. He's not satisfied with just one. He longs for sinners. He loves souls. He's always crying out to anyone that will listen, come to me. Come to me. I'm the one your heart is longing for. That's what the whole message of the cross is. It's God crying out to humanity. Come to me. I died for you so that you can come back and know me and walk with me and so that you can be with me forever. That's God's heart to all of us. He says, if anyone hears my voice, anybody, and opens the door, I will come in. And we will sup and we will dine together. It's at the foot of the cross where we'll find him and his promises. That's where you'll learn his name is like ointment. It heals. It brings forth what we need in our souls, because Jesus is the yes and the amen. He's a priest that pardons our sins. He's a king that reigns over his people. He defends his people with his mighty arm. He's a prophet that tells us of good things to come. His lips are most sweet. They drip with honey still. He's our righteousness. He's that robe that covers our shame and our nakedness. He's our husband. He never seeks a divorce. He's our friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He's our shepherd. He's there with us even in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. Even there, he's with us. He's our helper. He's our deliverer. He's our strength. He's our confidence. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our all in our all. And in the Song of Solomon, verse 2, verse 10, it says, I hear the voice of my beloved. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away with me. I hear my voice. I hear his voice. He's speaking to me. Is he speaking to you? Has he been speaking to you? Rise up. Rise up, my love. It's me. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Haven't we been long enough feasting on the things of this world, things that don't satisfy? He's risen. He's alive. Why should we cleave to the dust when we have a living, risen Savior and his Holy Spirit that indwells us and lifes us? Why would we cling to the dust? I read such a good, devotional by Spurgeon the other day about that. He says, come away further and further from everything selfish, everything groveling, everything worldly, everything sinful. He calls me from the outwardly religious world, which doesn't know him. He calls me. Come away. It has no harsh sound in it to my ear. For it's there. For what is there to hold me in this wilderness and vanity of sin anymore? He's calling me. Again, we need to become lovesick with Jesus again. When we do, we won't need the gimmicks and all the things we've created in our consumer-friendly churches to draw people. We won't need things to draw people. We'll just have Jesus. And they'll stay just for Jesus. I'll finish with this. It's further on in the Song of Solomon. It's a beautiful picture of what happens when we fall in love with Jesus and how it affects the world. And that's why I'm praying. I know for my church, for the church in general, that we would return to our first love, that we would return to the old past, that we would put away all of our gimmicks, all of our business models, all the ways we feel like we need to promote Jesus to the world, and just simply become lovesick for him. Look at how it will affect the world. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8, this Shulamite girl is reawakened to the wonder of her lover, her king, and she's out in the streets and she's looking for him. She's lovesick, and she says to the daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him I am lovesick. But this is what they say to him. What is your beloved more than any other beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than any other beloved that you so charge us? In other words, what's so special about this Jesus? Why should we go seeking after him with you? Again, the world watches. They see the church. They see a lot of times us maybe not loving us, ourselves, each other, the way we need to. They see all the different divisions and denominations and things that separate us. They also see our lives during the week. Maybe they see in a lot of ways, sometimes us not living much differently than they are, pursuing the same things they are. So what's so special about this Jesus that I should go seek him with you? Well, now she describes something that you only experience in that inner chamber with the kings when your eyes have been given that eye salve and you see him. She describes him to them. She says, "My beloved is white and ruddy. He is chief among 10,000. His head is like finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with myrrh. His hands are like rods of gold set with beryl. His body is like carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem." And in the next chapter, this is what they say. "Where is he gone, O fairest among women? Where is your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you?" They've never heard of anyone like that. And now they want to seek him with her. So my prayer for the church, for all of us, is that God would give us eye salves, that we would once again see him the way we need to see him. We would understand the things about ourselves we need to see, but we'd also take what he is offering us, that robe of righteousness, riches that can only come from him, that invitation to enter into the chamber, to dine with him, to sup with him, to see and know things about him that nobody else can know unless they've entered into that place with him. And it's there for everybody. It's there for anyone that hears his voice and responds. So I just want to pray this morning that God would grant us eye salve, that he'd heal our eyes, that we'd see him like never before, that we'd come back to our first love so that the world can then look and want to seek him with us when they see our love for him, our love for one another. And we're able to tell them about a God we know intimately, not just we know about, or a God that can just do things for them. No, a God who's intimate, a God who indwells them, a God who enters into a relationship with them, a God who satisfies the longing soul. Everything their heart is longing for, they find it in him alone. That's what we want to offer people. So let me just pray. And I'm going to ask Rose to pray as well. Lord, I pray for that eye salve. I pray for myself. I pray it for our body. I pray it for the church in general, Lord. Make us love sick for you, Lord. Set our hearts on fire with a passion to know you and to love you in the way we should, Lord. Help us to see you in a greater way, Lord. Help us to see the things you desire us to see. And help us, Lord, to passionately share you with others. And I thank you, Lord, just like you went above and beyond what that little peasant girl could imagine. I know that's your heart for us. Help us to respond to you. Help us to allow you to open our eyes. Lord, have your way in us, I pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I'm so thankful that you said in your word, as many as I love, I chasten. So therefore be zealous and repent,
yes, God.
Lord, and return. Father, and I thank you for this time that you're given us to be able to really look at the other things that we put before you, the other things we love, yes, more than you, Lord. And it's out of love that you show us these things.
Thank
it's
you,
not
Lord.
To rub our nose in it or to condemn us,
you,
but you want to give us yourself in such a greater way,
yes,
than
God.
We have you, Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to reveal those things that we put before you and we love more than you, and help us to truly repent and to turn our hearts back to you,
yes, Lord.
To our first love, to the one that we were created,
yes,
for.
Jesus,
we were created for you. We were created to know the Father in such an intimate way.
Yes,
and I pray, God, that you would have us in the way you desire to have,
yes,
us,
Lord.
All of our heart, all of our affections, all of our desires, just everything about us, Lord. I pray that you would conquer our,
yes,
love, our heart, in such a way that we would be ablaze for you,
yes,
in
Lord.
This dark world, Lord, this world that desperately needs hope, desperately needs Jesus,
yes, Lord.
Lord. Thank you that you
thank
are
you,
calling
God.
Us into the chambers, Lord. I pray that as we spend time there, leaning on our beloved, that we would come out of this wilderness with such a bright light shining through us.
Hallelujah.
A testimony of the mercy of,
yes,
God,
Lord. Yes.
To so many that need to know you,
yes, Lord.
Lord, so many that you want to reveal yourself to through,
yes,
our,
Jesus.
Lives, through our love for you. God, you are the greatest treasure of all.
Yes,
Jesus,
you are
the greatest treasure of all. And I thank you that you keep reminding us of that, especially during this time, that you're the one we need more than anything else. And you want to just lavish us with such an extravagant love that only comes from the Father. But it takes time in the chambers with your Son, with the King, for that love to be revealed in us and through us, Lord. So I pray.
Thank you, Lord.
That we wouldn't be in a hurry, Lord, to get out of the chambers that you have us in right now.
Yes, God.
Lord, but that you would accomplish in our hearts what you're wanting to accomplish during this time in the body of Christ worldwide, not only in our church, but around the world.
Yes,
accomplish,
Lord.
In all of us, in your,
yes,
bride,
God.
What you're wanting to accomplish in,
thank
us,
you,
continue,
Lord.
To awaken us to the wonder of who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and may our lives be poured out,
thank
as
you,
a
Lord.
Drink offering, as a wine offering, as it were, to others, Lord, that desperately need to drink of the,
yes,
fountains,
Jesus.
Of living waters that you have so freely and abundantly and desire to give even more to us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Let's be lovesick for Jesus. Let's respond to his knocking. Amen. We love you guys. Hopefully we'll see you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.